Will the audience please stand for the presentation of the colors? Color guard, attention. Color guard, advance. Halt. Color guard, post the colors. About face. Color guard, retreat. Color guard dismissed. You may be seated.
Well, welcome. We are glad that you're here to celebrate with us the life of our friend Dee Elliott. It's funny, we don't often have a color guard here for different things because we're here to celebrate Jesus, but it did make me think we should all got hats that said MDGA. Make D great again, because that's kind of what we're celebrating, is that the Lord has made D great again in a whole new way. But we're also here to celebrate that there was a lot that was great about D. Elliott's life because of the God that has finished that process of conforming him into the image of his son. And we're going to get to talk about that today and celebrate that. And we're so glad that you're here and grateful for not just you being here, but for the way so many of you have been a part of Dee's story these last months and years. And it has been a glorious story in the way both Dee has loved us and the way so many of you have loved him. And so I want to pray, and then we're going to remember Dee's life. His friend Will's going to come and just read a little bit of the story, and then we'll celebrate the story in a much more even personal way after that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the chance just to come and to comfort one another with words that are true so that we can then comfort others with the comfort with which we have been comforted. I thank you for the way that Dee was a source of comfort to so many of us because he lived a life that was strong in Christ, even as his body deteriorated before our very eyes, we saw his strength increase. And so we thank you for that, and we thank you that we know the source of that is what made his body strong again. And so, Lord, we freely tell you that we have never been happy with the story that you chose to write, right? And we're not happy that we're not with our husband and father and friend now, but we're thankful for you. And we're thankful for the fact that we have a chance to be reminded today with what we are to do with our today, knowing that the only person in this room that doesn't need prayer is our husband and father and friend Dee. And so we thank you for that and for the assurance we have and for the fact that because of that we get to sing songs even as we mourn. We strengthen one another with words that are true. We thank you for the life of your servant that was a source of strength to so many of us because he walked with you. Your word tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And so we're going to run to your word today to be comforted, and we're going to look back with great joy as we just celebrate the kindness that you accomplished through our friend. We love you, and we thank you, Father, for the chance to come together and strengthen and comfort one another. May Jesus be honored and glorified in this moment as he was through so much of Dee's life. In the name of his Savior, that we want honored especially today, we pray. Amen.
Charles Dewey Elliott III, also known as Dee, sometimes known as Dewey Decimal. He transitioned from life here to life eternal in the presence of our living God on June the 4th, 2018. He was born in a snowstorm in February of 1947, and he was brought home to begin his life in his mother's arms, sitting in the sidecar of his dad's Harley Davidson. That explains a lot. He was born to Charles Dewey Elliott Jr. and Virginia Elliott. Born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, he attended North Kansas City High School and was active in both academics and sports. Dee was an Eagle Scout with five palms and was particularly proud of his three sons, Corey, Chad, and Jess, and his grandson, Chase, for also attaining the rank of Eagle Scout. After studying for a year at what is now Missouri University of Science and Technology, he received a congressional appointment to the United States Naval Academy. Graduating and being commissioned an ensign with the class of 1970, he served on active duty for 6 years with two deployments to Vietnam, receiving a Naval Commendation Medal with a V for Valor for combat operations in the Mekong Delta. His fire team on the USS Rogers was credited by the commander of the 7th Fleet as having conducted the final fire support of the war. I can see Dee firing the trigger to that 5-inch gun saying, "Go Navy, beat Army." He went on to become an aide and flag lieutenant for the commander of the amphibious fleet, Eastern Pacific, and inshore warfare. He retired from the Naval Reserves in 1983. More importantly, and while still serving his country, upon graduation and commissioning, he met Roddy. They were married, and they set out on a journey together that lasted 48 years and will continue with it in eternity. There were many celebrations and some challenges, but they faced it together with strength, courage, dignity, and the knowledge and assurance of God's love. They were blessed with the gift of three wonderful sons, each of whom Dee was most proud to watch grow into strong members of the community. While successful in business, the latest venture being Trident Response Group here in Dallas, Dee also served on a number of nonprofit boards, including Heroes on the Water and Carry the Load, to support veterans' initiatives and their family. Previously, Dee raised support for cancer research with the Mary Crowley Research Center here in Dallas, and he later, after learning about his ALS through his own diagnosis, became involved in the ALS Association both in Texas and the Midwest. His greatest accomplishment, however, came as a sinner, saved by the grace of God offered freely by Jesus Christ. He and his wife, Roddy, served faithfully here at Watermark for many years. He was intimately involved in the lives of hundreds of men, including the man standing before you and many seated around you. He supported their families through the grace of our Savior. Dee's assurance, enduring victory, and dependence on his Savior Jesus Christ over the cruel depletion of his physical body through ALS can be reviewed online through the two marvelous videos made here at Watermark. If you simply Google Dee Elliott Watermark, it will bring up those two videos. It's certainly worth the 15 minutes of your time, and it is wonderfully, wonderfully inspiring. True to his servant's heart, Dee donated his body for research to the Willard Bodie program at UT Southwestern Medical Center. The family is forever grateful for the generous and Christ-like support they received from their community group, his Bible study Summit Dogs, the entire Watermark family, and countless others who prayed for, encouraged, and served with them these past few years. The family also wants to give special thanks to Donna, Oprah, and Yodit for their loving care, and other caregivers for their loving care of Dee over the last few weeks and months, including the ALS Foundation and the entire Veterans Administration team that provided care for our sweet brother Dee. The family would also like to thank Total Baylor Hospice and Faith Presbyterian Hospice, all of whom made the journey a little easier on everyone. Dee leaves his beautiful and loving wife, Roddy, his son, Chad, and wife, Kathleen, and their children, Chase and Campbell, also known as Love You Too. Son, Corey, with wife, Tracy, and their children, Coulter and Lynn Scott, and Jess, his dad's caretaker. He also leaves his darling sister, Dixie, and husband, Mike Cooper, along with their daughters, husbands, and families. His sister-in-law, Monty Howard, and husband Michael, along with their son, wife, and children, as well as numerous cousins, nephews, and nieces. I finished by reading a verse that the family asked me to read, which is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. and D is now one with God and Spirit through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, and thank you.
It's good to see everyone today. Thank you for coming. Our first scripture reading comes from Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number your days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom.
I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Hey, 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. And our pops wanted us to remind those husbands to pray with their wives daily.
I'm humbled to be here this afternoon to honor my dear friend and one of my heroes. As with many of you, D. Eliot fostered a growth in my faith. He modeled an easygoing yet straightforward way of witnessing to others, many others. One common memory of D. that I bet many of us share occurred often, like every Sunday. Before or after services here at Watermark, there is a sea of humanity just outside those doors. But if you try to find a friend or family member, it's hard. But with 2,500 people milling around, no matter where you were standing, you could always spot a full head of wavy white hair standing a head and a half above the crowd. If you wanted to find D. Eliot, that was not a problem. The problem was everyone else could find him too, and they did. I don't recall a time that D. didn't have two or three people waiting to share with him or to receive a hug and a word of encouragement. And most of us were satisfied with a nod and a smile as he took on all comers. I really got to know D when one night he said, I look worn out. And he asked me to sit down for a minute and offered me a bottle of water. We sat outside and he listened to the anger, the guilt, frustration, shame and regrets that I'd saddled myself with. We talked for more than 2 hours. The conversation included family, personal, and marital issues not often discussed in most church circles. D was a world-class listener. No judgment, no condemnation, no shame, no shock. He listened intently, patiently. He leaned in with compassion, hope, and encouragement, as he did with everyone. A deep trust and friendship was forged that night, and the course of my life began to change. I saw how our friend took time for the saved and the unsaved. He was always on mission, sharing the good news with those unfamiliar with the gospel and spurring on the saved. Together, Dee and Roddy helped transform lives and marriages through the re-engaged marriage ministry here at Watermark. That impact cannot be overstated. They made marriage real, not perfect, but real, challenging, equipping, encouraging couples to hold fast. Many marriages have been saved and many more healed. Now, as Jess mentioned, well over 100 times did my sweet friend Dee ask me, as he asked many of you many times, are you praying with your wife every day? Are you leading your wife and family well? And if he smelled anything other than the whole truth, most of us heard the follow-up question. Or do we need to get her over here and talk? And he'd hold up his phone. It's a phrase my wife recalled for me several times. He taught us that prayer time together helps keep the small things small. It keeps the account short. It is the difference maker in growing a healthy marriage. Thank you for that example. He practiced the one another's of Scripture. He did these daily. He did them diligently. And the pray for one another, he was as faithful a prayer warrior as I have ever known. Not only would he pray often, he would share the fact that he prayed for me. What a model encouragement to turn prayer hurriers and prayer worriers into prayer warriors. And lest anyone think that our friend D ever ceased praying, it is not so. If anything, his prayer life doubled as his body gave way to ALS. I will miss the text messages that he would send just letting me know that he was praying for me and my family. Now, they might come at midnight, they might come at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. Many of you may have received similar messages timed that way. These nights were long, they were lonely, and he used them to pray. On a recent occasion, with only the use of a single finger remaining, my friend typed a beautiful prayer for my bride. If there's such a thing as a treasured text message, it is it. He was a true prayer warrior. D did have another side to him, though, and he could be somewhat of a dog. And not many people knew that. Let me elaborate. Whenever a flock of believers gather here, there's always a security element on duty. And for many years, D was a leader on the security team. His efforts were somewhat invisible. It's the nature of that type of security. A couple of years ago, the safety and security team wanted to recognize his leadership, his lasting contributions. And with an annual award for outstanding service, they named the award in D's honor. Well, at least half of the award is named in his honor. It is the D. Elliott Sheepdog Award. It makes sense. It makes complete sense. Sheepdogs guard the flock, right? It makes sense. It was a high honor to D and for each recipient that has followed. A force multiplier increases the effectiveness of a force. Our friend D was a force multiplier as a witness, as a leader, as a husband, as a patriot, as a servant, and as a transformer of lives and marriages. In this place, Watermark Community Church, a place that develops and deploys force multipliers by the hatful, D. Elliott was, still is, and will continue to be the standard bearer. He increased the effectiveness of many, and the effectiveness of those individuals has spread into community groups and Bible studies, and so it continues. My brother D. would speak truth in love mostly. Although there were a couple times that truth and love could not be reckoned, love won. Roddy, you may recall D's intention to speak truth directly during a phone call. He was clear. He was determined. Though the conversation had a more gentle tone than we expected, and I wanted the master communicator, the naval intelligence expert, to navigate to the point. And he never did. D's eyes lit up when I asked, "What happened?" And he looked at you and saw your frustration and said, "I finessed it. I finessed it." Roddy, I think we both said at the exact same time, "You finessed it." We laughed and teased about other terms that may fit better than finesse. And in fact, that it could be that he was full of finesse at that moment. But in typical D fashion, he was right. In that conversation, truth versus love, truth wins. Love wins, rather. D changed his strategy that day, and from time to time, his tactics could be adjusted. But the mission never changed. Embrace and share the good news that God has provided for our salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Our friend D. Elliott was a brilliant, faithful servant, and I know the encouragement he would want me to leave you with today. If you want to know the everlasting God, read your Bible. If you want a better marriage, pray with your wife daily. If you want to lead well, serve well. And most importantly, If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do so now. Thank you for sharing your husband, your dad, your granddad with me, with all of us. He was loved, and we love you.
Good afternoon. My name is Clint Bruce, and I had the great pleasure of being on a fantastic adventure with D. Eliot for the last 15 years. Not many men or their wives have an appetite for adventure at this season of life, but I saw them lacking in nothing. I am the antithesis of D.'s sons. They are tall, blonde, good-looking. I'm not. I'm sorry I'm sweating, but it's daytime. I met Dee, not many know this, I met Dee in December of 1991. It was my first special operations mission. As a senior at South Garden High School, my father was at Medical City just down the road. And we knew, my father told me one time, and Dee affirmed that through the years, that leaders talk about what they don't want to talk about. They say what they don't want to say. They hear what they don't want to hear, and they do what they don't want to do. And as we navigated my father's final days and I had to make a decision about where I was going to go play football, he beat a drum in me to go where men mean what they say and are worth the time given them. And so 11 South Garland High School seniors broke my father out of Medical City in what many would describe as not an Ocean's 11 type experiment. We left two of our offensive linemen in the parking garage when we tried to figure out if the van could fit inside the concrete parking garage. It couldn't. We took Dad to the Royal Oaks Country Club during a Naval Academy recruiting dinner. My father was a large man at the time, and he had become frail because of his sickness, and he was on steroids, a medicine that they give us at the time. And an older gentleman poured wine on my father, and it ruined his shirt. And I could see my father, who was a businessman and loved being in the attire of a professional, begin to get upset. And in that moment, I knew that I wanted to be a part of something that Dee was. As the red wine hit my father's shirt, Roger Staubach said, "Hey, I have a story." And when Roger Staubach says, "I have a story," the entirety of Texas stops and listens. And then I watched Dee Eliot, John Roden, and John Gorman grab my father, break into the golf club at Royal Oaks Country Club, steal him a shirt, hustle him into the bathroom, change his shirt, and walk him out. And I said, "I'm in. You just committed a crime for my father." You see, all sailors have a piece of the pirate in them. And Dee was a sailor. He was a man of action. And he inspired those around us to be the same. And one of his favorite sayings has become one of mine, and one of the things we say at Annapolis all the time, smooth seas never made skilled sailors. And our scars are stories to share. At some point in time, you come to grips with the fact that you're only a dash here. I remember years ago when this building first opened and we were doing the summit, a men's ministry. I sat right over there in that section next to Dee, and we had a section talking about what is your dash worth? And there's a time you come and there's a time you go. And in between, that is what your life is about. And I quickly jotted down on a piece of paper and slid a note to him. And I said, "You have a mighty fine dash." I look amongst this crowd and I see those of us who are just microscopic dots inside that dash. All a dash is a group of closely packed periods that are aligned together with such magnitude and linkage that you can't tell them apart. They're undiscernible. Because they're aligned so tightly. Those of us who lived in the wake of Charles Dooley Eliot would tell you that we are aligned. We are packed tightly. And we know what we were about. Galatians 6:9 says, "Do not grow weary of doing what is right. For in a time you'll reap a harvest and a benefit." Dee was a crewman. He was a rower. Rower is perhaps the simplest sport that we have. It is in the Olympics. It's been around forever, but at its simplest level, it is one of the most simple sports we have. It is simply men on a boat and women on a boat pulling the same direction with the same speed and the same strength. It is simple, but when it happens right, it's one of the most elegant and beautiful sports we ever had. It is the epitome as a sport of do not grow weary of doing what is right. In a time, you'll reap a harvest and a benefit in a time. For D, that time's now. He's reaping the harvest and benefit of not growing weary of doing what is right. Pirates are interesting. At the heart, mostly, they're good. Sailors are rough men, imperfect. And it's in our imperfection, magnitude by the mystery of the ocean, that we are made complete by the author of all oceans, the eternal Father. And we are loved by near-perfect women. In these last decade plus, I've watched D hit a season of his life that he is and should be proud of. And I've watched him love boldly, tirelessly, with grace and beauty by Miss Roddy Elliott. When you live like that, you can go home well. We have a saying, it's a song that we sing when we lose a sailor. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm doth hold the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Well, hear us when we call to thee for those sailors in peril on the sea. When you live a life like that, it is full of constant prayer. And I remember walking into D's room with some great idea, and I didn't know whether or not to be offended to see D praying as I walked in or praying as soon as I started talking. But he prayed, and he prayed well. He was a holdfast man, and he was held fast by an incredible woman. And his legacy in these three great men I see in front of me is assured. We can be archers and arrows. An arrow makes a difference wherever it hits. An archer makes a difference wherever it aims. And if our measure is to make a difference, then isn't it better to be an archer than just an arrow? I'd say D's quiver is full, and your work continues. And I know what you are, Roddy, and you will continue to work. Eternal Father, strong to save, welcome home, my friend. Farewell and following seas to a mighty sailor.
Well, it's a fact, I would never have gotten up those stairs without help. Would somebody hand me a, I didn't get my Kleenex. Thanks, honey. Okay. In respect and admiration as Dee's wife, I want to share a few things that made Charles Dewey Elliott Dee. He was loved. He was the love of my life, and we were married for 48 years. We both grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. Courtesy of my sister, Maddie, we had a blind date on a very cold Christmas Eve in 1966. He stood tall and handsome with gorgeous blonde hair and crystal blue eyes. It is possible he stood a little cocky. Well, a lot cocky. Yet he had me at hello. Dee was such a tall drink of water. We lived in different states. Dee was a plebe at the Naval Academy. I was a junior at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Dee graduated in June 1970. We were married June 13th, 1970, and our adventure began. We raised three wonderful sons, Chad, Corey, and Jesse. I always remarked I had four boys. Can you guess who the fourth one was? God's sense of humor has been evident throughout our life. Dee was a husband, a father, a grandfather, a brother, an uncle, a friend, a mentor, and an encourager extraordinaire. He was bigger than life and always found time for others. Throughout his life, the boys and I had to learn to share Dee often. As a father, Dee was abundantly proud to see his diversely gifted sons rally to both of our aid. The love expressed by our sisters, Monty and Dixie, and their husbands, both of whom are Mike, was unconditional, and their work on Dee's behalf was without bounds. The unity shown to Dee by family was a great gift and a comfort to all of us. This year, I gave Dee an early Father's Day card, and it read, "What makes a man remarkable?" Here are just a few reasons Dee is the most remarkable man I will ever know. First, Dee had a sense of playfulness most evident in his eyes, which most of the time carried mischief. In our first marriage, in the first year of our marriage, we lived in an apartment in Vallejo, California. Halloween rolled around, and we bought tons of candy, just waiting for the fun to begin. At some point during the evening, there's an anticipated knock at the door, and Dee knocked back. And this went back and forth, this exchange went back and forth, and lasted a couple of minutes, and finally Dee opened the door. And the children yelled, "Trick or treat!" We filled their bags with candy. And then the mother started laughing as she told Dee, "The knocking was really fun, but both of my children are deaf." Really, honey? Second, Dee loved people, his family, his friends, and the organizations he believed in. Dee served his country, which he loved, served veterans and heroes on the water, and led many Bible studies. Dee had a magnetism, and everybody wanted to be around him. Dee was passionate about his men's Bible study, and a shout out to the Summit Dogs. Dee's love of people, especially those hungry to be fed truth in Christ, carried over to our serving 10 years in the Re-Engage Marriage Ministry. He always found time to counsel anyone seeking God's wisdom, even via text, as Steve said, at 3 or 4 in the morning. He loved his mission trip to Africa several years ago with Watermark. He was on this trip, and while he was on this trip, Dee was given the nickname The Decimal, because Dee could answer any question on any topic. He was just one of those people with a mind like a steel trap. And sometimes he was always being right, and that was just a little irritating if you were married to him. But either way, the name Dee, The Decimal, stuck. And finally, and most importantly, Dee was God's man. This didn't mean he was perfect, and through the years, I can attest to that. He wasn't perfect. He knew his flesh. He knew he was a sinner saved by the redeeming love and grace of Jesus Christ. He rarely missed an opportunity in the last quarter of his life to share his hope and faith with others. He died a humble and grateful man. He was a man of unwavering faith, no matter the circumstance. He had an enviable strength and courage, which was witnessed by many these past 3 years as he was stricken with ALS. Dee wanted his life to count for God's glory, and even though he was tested as he bore the consequences of the disease ravaging his body, Dee dug deep to hold on to God's promise and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to remain steadfast and pointing to God. So the Father's Day card read, "What makes a man remarkable? It's his character and the way he treats people. It's a sense of loyalty and the way he is there for loved ones. It's his generous heart and love of friends and family. It is more than what he does. It's who he is." If you are here today, I hope you encountered one or more of these attributes of Dee. Our family has been touched, blessed, and humbled by the incredible people who stood by us during Dee's illness. Through your faithfulness and selfless acts of love and kindness, you have modeled God's greatest ability to provide our every need. We witnessed God's provision and faithfulness in a way we had never experienced and never expected. A special thanks to our community group who wrapped their arms around us since the diagnosis. Thank you to all the hundreds of people who have prayed for us throughout. Thank you to the entire body of Christ here at Watermark. Words cannot express our gratitude. And a special thanks to Monty and Mike Howard, and to Dee and Dixie Elliott, who stood in the gap when I couldn't complete a thought. It's been a privilege and an honor to be the Decimal's hot rod. He took care of me in sickness and in health. He kept the covenant well. Dee was my encourager, always pointing me to God. He loved me well and assured me I was cherished. Because of our faith, I am certain our Heavenly Father and Dee will continue to whisper in my ear, providing me comfort. And I will see them face to face in heaven. May God richly bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
Well, it's a shame Dee didn't have any eloquent friends. This is a real privilege. When you're a pastor, you always have, you know, two problems when you're asked to participate in remembering somebody. Sometimes people show up and want you to be a part of a man's funeral that, frankly, his life has not been defined by faith of the church. Now, we don't have that much here, but that's been a common issue that churches have faced for centuries, where people that just ignore God, ignore the faith for a long time, there's a few moments in their life where they don't, or at least the family around them doesn't. And every now and then somebody shows up and they want to be a part of a summary of an individual's life where you as a person who understands the meaning of life is found in a relationship with Jesus, that you have nothing to say about that individual. That is an awkward way to do a funeral. Another problem you have is sometimes you are asked to do a funeral of somebody like Dee. And you appropriately just share the truth about a man's life. And if you're not careful, people can listen to you talk about that man's life and you think, well, that's the life I've got to live if I'm going to have a chance to have the hope that you can only imagine. And you got to be really, really careful not to make that man the Savior he loved. You need to know something. Nobody here, and Roddy just said it, thinks that D. Eliot didn't need a Savior. But there are many of us that are here who have watched D's love for the Savior transform him into a remarkable man. Not a perfect one, but remarkable. Psalm 12 says this. It says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men." And boy, we are seeing that in spades in our culture. And by the grace of God, we're not seeing it here at Watermark. We're just not. That's because of men like D. Eliot. Men who were faithful and the things that they have learned in the presence of many witnesses, they have entrusted to other faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Summit Dogs, I know that there are many of you who have been leading with D, but lead on. Lead on, because there are going to be other Eric Crouches that stumble into this place in 2018 the way Eric stumbled in here in 2015. And they won't meet D, but they can meet the Savior that made D worth meeting. I just sat there. I love to do it. I just scribbled down a number of things. I mean, I heard, you know, Steve say that D was intimately involved in the lives of numerous men. What this really is a passing of the baton. D has sailed the waters that God had him to sail very well, and now it's time for those of us that are still here to carry on. And you need to ask yourself this. Not just are you praying with your wife, which I'm going to give you a chance to do in just a moment, but are you intimately involved in the lives of men or women? And if not, you're not going to be a remarkable individual. You're not going to be somebody whose life we celebrate in the same way we're celebrating Dee's life, because Dee loved Jesus, and Jesus was intimately involved in the lives of individuals when he was here, and he became intimately involved with anybody and is to this day who continues to be intimately involved with him. And when you are intimately involved with him, you're intimately involved in the lives of other men. I love that my son is in this room right now, because it's his 1966. He's about to be a plebe at his university. And he's tall. Got too much hair, if you ask his dad. And just like most 18-year-olds, a little bit cocky, but in a really sweet way. And I just want to get personal for a second and just say to him, and really to all of us that still have any time left, Kate, if you live the next 52 years the way Dee lived from 1966 to today, you'll make more than me proud. So I don't know how many days you have left, but you have a chance to do what Dee did. And I just thought I'd take a second as I thought about just how we should handle this time, because like I said, one of the problems you have in moments like this is either you have nothing to say, or when you say too many things, it can start to look like something Dee did is why we sing with hope. In a sense, it's true. Dee got on his knees and he acknowledged he was a sinner and he was a man of faith. And what Dee did is acknowledge what the grace of God alone can make you acknowledge, and that is that no matter what he did, no matter how he sailed the seas, he needed a Savior. And it's because of that that we have hope. Not because he prayed with Roddy, not because he was intimately involved with men, but he prayed with Roddy and was intimately involved with men because by the kindness of God, he was intimately involved with Jesus. And if Dee was not happy, if he would be unhappy with anything that we did, he would be really unhappy if you made this about anything but his sheepdog, Jesus, the good shepherd who gave his life for him. That is job one. That's why D was who he was. It's why as his body grew weaker, his life grew stronger. We are all like D. Good health is just the fastest way to the grave. ALS is a cruel disease. It is a gift. Because you see in an accelerated way what is true of every single person sitting in this room. Some of you are not going to have the kindness of ALS. Some of you are not going to be put on notice that inside 3 years, you're going to give an account for your life. D didn't need the 3 years. And I don't know if you're going to get it. We are all like D. We are all dying. Every single one of us is broken and heading toward the grave. There is a psalm. It was written at the end of David's life. I just want to share a little bit of it from you. It's Psalm 39. David is going to describe here at the very beginning the effects of his life that were ravaged not by ALS, but by lust. And abandoning what David knew to be true, which was God was good. And as David suffered and from his sin and suffered from the suppression and attacks of his enemies, he said this, I said, David, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. While the wicked are in my presence, I was mute and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue. And what is going on in those verses is David saying, when he was suffering and life was not as he wanted it to be, as he was reaping what he sowed and as enemies were taking advantage of the weakness and the judgment that was on him, he said, I was really careful in the midst of that not to speak around those that didn't know God in a way that would make them think that I didn't have hope. Even as I suffered from my sin and suffered from my enemies. Now, D didn't have ALS because of his sin. D had ALS because this is a broken world and sin is in the world, and with sin comes death, and death sometimes takes the form of ALS. But what's really interesting is D was just like David in that he wasn't just careful to not speak a poor word about God in the presence of non-believers. D just didn't really have a poor word to say about God. Oh, he was human, and like the rest of us wondered why a man that had been using his 60s to make disciples was getting weaker and not stronger, and why this disease came upon him. And there were moments that we sat, and he very honestly, as a strong man, acknowledged he wasn't looking forward to the pain that was going to come. But he was careful to never let anybody think, especially those who didn't know God, that God was not good. And he was a lot like David in that way. And in this sense, not only are we all like D, we should all be like D. Living as ministers of the gospel, careful to make sure that everything that we do advances his kingdom. I love what Steve said. D basically said three things, man. If you want to know your God, read your Bible. Be a man of the book. If you want a better marriage, pray with your wife. If you want to be a better leader, be a servant, just like your king. We should all be like D. And so let's just take a second. Sweetie, where are you at? I know you're here. There you are. Some of you came alone. This might be your chance to pray for a wife. Some of you are with your wife. You haven't prayed in a while. And the first thing you need to do is just say, hey, forgive me. I don't even know how to pray. But God's a father. He doesn't want eloquence. He just wants your heart. And if you're here as a widow and you don't have a D to pray, Roddy understands. And you talk to your bridegroom, Christ, who is sufficient. But if you're here and you're married, let's just take a second. Maybe some of you guys need to pray. I need to be more intimately acquainted with men. I need to make disciples, which means I got to be a disciple first. If I'm going to be a good leader, I got to learn to serve. And there's no greater way to serve than to seek your king. So however long it takes me to go over there, grab my bride, pray with her, that's how much time you have. Pray with your wife. Oh, we should all be like D in all the ways he was like Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about, in fact, one of the boys read it, talks about Paul and just his perspective. I just want to read it, all of it, even into chapter 5. So you want to know your God? Read your Bible. You want to know what godly men are like? Watch D. That chance is gone. But watch somebody that D was like. That chance is right now. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, D would say, Paul wrote, as we receive mercy, we don't lose heart. Boy, he did not lose heart, right? He held fast to the strength and the hope he had. But we've renounced the things hidden because of shame. Not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God. D didn't live a double life. The man you saw at re-engage is the man you saw at home. The man you saw greeting the thousands around him on Sunday is the man he was throughout the week. By the manifestation of truth, he commended himself to every man's conscience in the sight of God. D said, even if my way of life, as Paul did, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For D and Paul did not preach themselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now watch this. Isn't this great? For God, who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's what happened. And this, watch where this text goes. What Paul's going to describe is his life and all that came into it that was at times less than glorious, that he wouldn't have wanted. And yet he counted it as, the boys read, a momentary light affliction. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. You don't have to wait for ALS, and D didn't, to model that. But when this man's body broke down, his heart didn't. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. How many of you were encouraged when you saw death working in D. Eliot? So many of us. And I'm just going to insert this, a little picture right here. When I was with Dee and Rowdy and the boys just a few hours before Dee went to be healed, he got his little finger out and just started pecking away. And I just got my camera and took a picture of this. This is one of the last things he ever said to me was, "Todd, my tears are for joy," as he was just sitting there weeping a little bit. And the bit role, you know, really for the bit role I got to play on this eternal stage, I am so blessed. Sounds like this, verse 12, because many of you saw it. Death worked indeed, but life in so many who saw the strength that was in him. Verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke or pecked with my finger. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But through our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, for momentary light, ALS, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Watch this. And aren't we glad? Because I know when I got the text that Dee had been healed. For we know that if the earthly tent, the scripture says, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this ALS house, or in this house still of feeling the effects of sin, we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan. But we remain faithful if we're men of faith. Being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, always being of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage. I say and prefer rather be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. And Dee got that request answered. Therefore, we also have become, as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. We should all be like Dee. And still we have time. Our watch is not finished. I love what Dee also typed to me right before he typed this. What he typed down for me is this. He said, "I am finishing, Todd, face down in the dirt with nothing left to give." Isn't that great? That's the way you want to finish. I mean, what a gift to know that you can see the end of the race. Most of us don't have our days as clearly numbered as Dee did. And don't you want to just give your last breath as you take the last step, as you cross the finish line? Paul did. That's what he said. "I have fought the good fight." He said, "I've poured out as a drink offering," just like Dee said. "But I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." We should all be like Dee. And I would just say, we can all be with Dee. This is the best part. Is you don't have to handle your ALS as perfectly as he did. You don't have to do anything as well as Dee did. You got to acknowledge you can't do anything as well as God did. And you can avail yourself to the grace that Dee availed himself to. We're all like Dee. We're all sinners. We're all going to die. We should all be like Dee in that we come to terms with that and live our life as long as we can, no matter what the circumstances of our life are, for the glory of God, knowing it's just a momentary light affliction. In fact, Psalm 39 goes with Psalm 90, which one of you guys read. The very next verses in Psalm 39 are, "God, let me just remember how short my days are, so I can use them well." I pray you guys know how short your days are. There's just not many. And so let's not be distracted. Let's live as if we're living our last, so that by the grace of God, when we're done, people can be encouraged the way we're encouraged at the life of a man who lived on purpose, who needed a Savior. And we can be, all of us, with Dee, if we acknowledge that we need a Savior. And that's what it takes. 2 Corinthians 5:10, let me just keep going here just for a second. It just says this: we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one can be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now listen, you need to know this. If you don't come with Christ, all you're going to have is the works you did to earn salvation. And when you get recompensed for the works that you did to earn salvation, it won't go well with you. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when you stand before the judgment seat, if you turn in your resume, if you turn in your 10 years with Reengage, if you turn in praying with your wife every night, if you turn in I read my Bible, you're also going to have to turn in all the things that aren't consistent with those last few things I've mentioned, and you're going to find yourself falling short. If, on the other hand, what you did is acknowledge that without Christ you have nothing, and then with Christ you did things, you will be recompensed for the things that you did for the glory of God. That's what Dee did. And so therefore, it says in the next verse, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men as we're made known to God. And that's what I want to do. I want to tell you, we're all like Dee. We're all dying. We all should be like Dee. We should live like Christ is alive in us. And we can all be with Dee one day if we're with Christ now. And so I commend you to it. In a minute, Eric's going to come back up and sing. And I'll just tell you that at the very end of our time together, after Eric sings a little song, No More Night, and then we retire the colors, we're going to end with one of Dee's favorite songs and a video that Eric will also sing. And the song's Happy Trails. And it's kind of a weird way to end. But it kind of fits the smirk that often was found in him, doesn't it? And I want you to listen to the words, because the words of that song are familiar to all of us, but there's another verse that Dale Rogers wrote that isn't often sung. Do you sing that extra verse, Eric? Do you? It's in the song. I'm going to read it to you because you don't often hear it. It just says this: happy trails to you at the very end. It's great to say hello. Isn't that funny? Happy trails, it's great to say hello and to share with you the trail that we've come to know. It started on the day that we met Jesus. He came into our hearts, and then he freed us for a life that's true. A happy trail to you. Hey, listen, this is great because we get to say to Dee, man, well done. Because Jesus freed Dee from all his cockiness and had him in decades of discipleship to where more and more, as his body got less and less, we saw beauty. And that's what God wants for you. So it's appropriate that we get together and remember our friend, remind ourselves that one faithful man is down, and let it never be said, where are the faithful men? Because if Dee is who he says he is, they ought to fill this room. Steve said, by the buckets full, force multipliers are being created here. We invite you to join us. Come be a summit dog. Come be a man of God. As Eric comes up, what I want you to do is hear from Dee in his electronic voice. We asked Dee to come, and we had about 1,500 leaders from around the country in here with us not long ago, and I just said, hey, Dee, why don't you come and pray for him? And this was his prayer. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you have happy trails because you walk with Dee's King.
Our Father and our God, we come to your throne boldly, praising you and giving you the glory for this gathering of strong, committed men and women who lead your church and their communities to Jesus. Thank you for them and thank you for their loving support at home while they are here together in fellowship with your Holy Spirit, developing new relationships, learning and being equipped, encouraged, and even inspired with renewed passion to go and make disciples. And thank you for our body watermark that so freely gives its resources to love on our sisters and brothers from around the nation and even from around the globe. Yet, Lord, I pray that the impressiveness of watermark is not the measure, rather a fully yielded heart that is transparent so
But that's all right. I think it's kind of apropos even. Because it's ours to finish. It's ours to finish. Father, I pray that men and women in this room would finish the race before them. The way D finished that prayer and the way he finished his life. Strong until the end. There was no death in the file that was D. Eliot until his days were complete. Would you make that true of us? Steel our hearts as we reflect back on that tall, white-haired, wavy servant of Jesus. And let us, with whatever our hair is or isn't, be like a beacon that tells others where hope is and how to avoid trouble as they sail through life. I thank you for a chance just to celebrate my buddy D. I thank you for the chance to right now remind ourselves through songs of things that are true, and I thank you that we get to comfort each other and laugh some more throughout the day. We thank you for D's King, that we celebrate and honor in all that we're about. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please rise for the retrieval of the colors. Color guard, attention. Color guard, advance. Halt. Color guard, retrieve the colors. About face. Color guard, return to post. Halt. Color guard dismissed. You may be seated.
Back, but I got to tell you something. I regret that I didn't get to serve in the military. I really do. I'm sorry my country quit conscribing us as men. We are not a better nation for it. I have a file called Things I'll Do When I'm King. And that's on the list. And so I don't miss it. But you know what? Here's the thing. As I watch those guys, you know, just come up because they served, and rightly did they stand by this sailor's wife. And you kind of thought, you know, I would have loved to be among those men. When you heard that song, didn't you just feel like you missed? I did. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if you're a stinking seal. You're going to miss when I stand before my king and I sing his song. And he invites everybody onto that duty, onto that team. And as a man, that feeling I had when it did just happen, I know I'm on a better team, doing better work for a greater God and a flag that's true. And we can all be with thee. But you got to acknowledge you're like him, that you're a sinner who needs a Savior. And when you do, you'll have happy trails. So if you're a Summit dog, would you stand up real quick? Just if you're one of the guys that was part of that team, that group, look around. I want you all to see. Because I know, listen, there's a lot of us in here that knew D, a lot of us that share his faith. But if you're in this room right now and you have no idea what I'm really talking about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, these are the men that can tell you. And what we're about to do is the song Happy Trails is about to start. We're going to walk out this way, and everybody stay seated. And Summit Dogs, as we walk that way, you guys walk this way. All right? Or maybe put a couple of you back there, a couple of you there, a couple of you here. And get your questions answered. Because D intimately poured into these men. These men are intimately pouring into others, and they'd love to intimately pour into you. Happy trails. Lord, thank you for D. Elliott. Amen. Amen. Happy trails.